Good morning.
Good morning.
Greetings to you all in the name of Jesus. It is a blessing to once again be here with you all and worship the Lord with you. Appreciate the things that were shared this morning already. Brother Jim read the verse that said, "Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord." That goes along with the things that I want to talk about today, and also thinking about Job and his experiences. Job and his three friends who came to visit him, and they sat there for a week, and nobody said a word. Many of you know that I like children's stories. And the story about Pooh and the 100-acre woods, one day Piglet came along and he asked Pooh how he was doing. And Pooh said, "I'm having a difficult day." And Piglet said, "You want to talk about it?" And Pooh said, "No, I don't want to." So Piglet scooted close to him and sat right beside him. And Pooh said, "What are you doing?" Piglet said, "I've had difficult days, and I know they're easier when you have a friend to go with them through you." And so Job's three friends didn't really know what to say, I think, but they in turn ended up coming up with the wrong solution. And maybe I'll talk about that a little bit today too in what I have to share. And what a lesson in the story about Cain and how he let his anger overflow and the destruction that it brought. We really need to allow those stories in the Word to guide our lives, to guide our choices, as we can see those stories and how they worked out. They can teach us so much about our own lives and the way we deal with life and how we relate to others. So I'm thankful for those things that we heard already this morning. Before we get into what I have here, let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for the beauty that you have created outside and that we have the ability to enjoy it. Help us, God, to always recognize you in our surroundings, and whether our surroundings make us feel comfortable or cold or maybe bring about things that we don't enjoy. Help us to still recognize you and be thankful for the blessings that we can find in almost all of life. And as we recognize you, help us to honor you and allow you to be the guide and the focus of our lives. I pray that you would continue to guide us as we look into your word. I pray that you would speak to us according to our needs. Thank you for those things that were spoken of this morning already. Help us to take them to heart and let you show us how they apply to each one of us individually. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. For a title for my message, I have chosen Credit for Your Calling. Now you probably wonder, where are we going with this? But hopefully you'll figure it out as we go. I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy and read several verses there. Think about credit for your calling. 2 Timothy and chapter 2. Let's start reading there and probably go through verse 15. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits, Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We see here in these verses, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's giving him some advice. Paul, the veteran pastor, teacher, church planter, he is giving these words of advice to Timothy, the young elder, the young pastor, church leader. And he is giving him these instructions and telling him about how he is to live and how he is to look at his calling, and basically some expectations of difficulties that are going to come along. But he is encouraging him to be strong. Verses 3 and 4, verse 3 especially, talks about enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And also, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. There it's talking about someone willing to train, someone willing to endure difficulty for the purpose of being a good soldier, and also having a single focus so that he can please the one who had chosen him or called him to be a soldier. Verses 8 through 10, Paul speaks about his own willingness to pay the price of going through the difficulty for the purpose of sharing the gospel so that others as well could experience the life through Jesus Christ. In 11 through 13, he brings up the question of whether or not it's worth it. He basically says, if you hang in there, you're going to receive a reward, and it will be worth it, but if we give up, if we deny, then we will also be denied. And then 14 and 15 reminds him again to be willing to put in the effort to be equipped to be able to do the job that God has called him to do. If we go to 2 Peter, some verses there in chapter 1. Here he talks about growing in faith and growing in godliness. Let's start reading in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. So here, Peter is writing to the believers, and he is speaking about a focus and an exercising that allows the virtues that God gives to be growing in the believers' lives. Verse 5, notice, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. That takes a focus and an awareness. Giving diligence, and he goes through the list, and he says, you have received life. You have received abundant blessing through Jesus Christ. And now exercise yourselves in these things, because If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So the dividing line of those who are paying attention and looking for and seeking to fulfill their calling are awareness or just not paying attention. So he talks about they are blind. Either you have a focus or you're blind because of the God of this world. The God of this world hath blinded their eyes. If we go to Hebrews chapter 12, there it tells us that the previous chapter talks, we call it the faith chapter, and it talks about many people and how faith worked out in their lives. Verse 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There it holds up Jesus as our example. Jesus was willing to look at the ordeal that was before him and was able to look beyond at the expected results and was able to say, this is worth it. It's worth dealing with what I have to deal with because of what I'm going to get on the other side. And it was not only being able to sit down at the right hand of God, but it was also being able to have his desire, and that is to have people be in fellowship with him. And when he saw what was before him and the reward that was on the other side, he said, it is worth it. And so we are, the writer holds that up as an example to us and tells us that in our calling, we should be willing to look at the work and the effort that God puts before us and look at what's on the other side, and following the example of Jesus, allow that reward to be in focus enough that we say, it's worth it. It's worth dealing with. And then being willing to follow through. Now, as we think about calling and how often the Bible talks about being a good soldier, I started out with the verses in 2 Timothy where Paul told Timothy, be willing to endure, endure hardness as a good soldier. He told him to study to show himself approved. Here's a little story that I came across. And so often, I think that in life, it's easy to connect with these men that are in the story. And it's a made-up story, but I didn't make it up. I heard someone else tell the story, so I probably, in trying to remember the story, made up some details here to fill in the story. But a group of men, we'll say a group of six men, were traveling to their hometown. These men were soldiers. They were returning after a battle, and in that battle they had defended their country from invaders who came to enslave their people. Now, in the Old Testament, it talks about the time of year when kings went to war. They just went out and wanted to, let's go see who we can conquer. Well, these men had been to such a battle, and they had successfully defended their people from the invaders who wanted to enslave them, and now they're on their way home. As they approached the city, their hometown, they could see a large crowd gathered in the town square. It looks like everybody from the town is in the square, and they're thinking, wow, they're waiting to welcome us home. This will be wonderful. We're going to be heroes because of what we did to defend these people. But strangely enough, as they approach the gates, no one comes running to meet them. And in fact, as they walk up to the crowd, they are pretty much ignored. And they see that there's something there in the town square that has these people's attention. And they look at each other, very puzzled and wondering, what are these people so focused on? They were ignored. So they push their way through the crowd, and at the center, there was a huge pumpkin. Some farmer had brought in a huge pumpkin, and everybody was just in awe of this pumpkin. And these guys looked at each other, and they couldn't believe it. Here they were. They had saved these people from slavery. They had defended their king. They had defended their country. They had defended these people. And they were focused on a pumpkin. It's like, this is unbelievable. And so they looked at each other very puzzled. But after, you know, they can't believe what they're experiencing. They stand there dumbfounded as they think about the effort and the lives that were expended in defense of this people. And these people are just focused on stuff. But after a bit of time, they look at each other, and a look of understanding and quiet satisfaction passes between them. They know who they are, they know their king, and they are satisfied with what they have done. And they nod at each other as if to say, let's get on with life. Let's get on with life. We know our king, and we are satisfied with the effort that we have put in. And the reality of it is, we don't need the crowds to confirm that. We know where we have been, and we are satisfied that we have done our best. We know that the king is pleased, even if we are not received as heroes or recognized by others for our efforts. In fact, the most highly trained military personnel, even today, go through unbelievably tough training to serve in missions that most people never hear about. I'm intrigued by people who are willing to train and go through difficulty, and I've read a few stories about the training that some of these top military men go through, and it's absolutely brutal. I cannot imagine wanting bad enough to be in that position, to be willing to put up with that. And these guys often serve in missions that the general population doesn't find out. So they are They are heroes in their own right. They attain to just uncomprehendable abilities. And they pull off some pretty amazing missions. Nobody finds out about it. But the best of them say, it doesn't matter. We know. We know. And we know our reasons and we know our purposes. And so it doesn't matter if everybody thinks we're heroes or not. Now, it's pretty easy to feel like we don't get the recognition we deserve for the efforts that are expended. And we feel that way sometimes. Like, we don't get recognition that we might deserve for the efforts that we put into something. Maybe I'm the only one, I don't know. And so I guess this is largely speaking for myself, and I thought maybe y'all might benefit from it too. But it's easy to feel like, as a human, we deserve recognition for the work that we do, whether in the spiritual aspect or the material aspect, it's easy to feel like we deserve recognition. And so, as a large part of the population goes about living, making money, raising their family, paying off their mortgage, enjoying life, having a good time, enjoying life, there are a select few who protect and enable them. Those who complain and say it's not fair don't typically do a very good job. But those who know who they serve and dedicate themselves to that work often succeed. And that is, often you see that both in the physical and the spiritual side. Is that many people live their lives and looks like they're enjoying their life without really thinking about those who have done a lot of work to make it all possible. And so, why do those succeed? Because they know who they serve and they are confident in their purpose. That's why. That's why they're able to do the job that they are given to do. Now, if you think about it, here in this group, there are many, many, many roles here in this group. A whole bunch of them. And if you think about in the church especially, if we go to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, he begins in writing to this group of people and writing to us as well. He says, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, as even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Jumping down to verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There he's talking about how there is one body, there's one Lord, there's one Spirit, one hope of our calling. But then he goes on to say that there are many different people, aspects, and gifts that make up the whole. And so when you think about it, there are lots of different roles here in this church and in all churches. Some are very visible and seem to draw lots of attention. And some are seldom seen in action. Often, in any role, there are often many unnoticed and unrecognized efforts. And, you know, there are some of those people that they have lots to say. You know, maybe they're up front, they're talking, they have lots to say. The roles are very visible and draw attention. And there are other people who maybe don't fill that role very often, but on the not so visible side, they're jumping in there and giving a hand, and they're filling a need. They're taking care of people in many other ways. And so there's lots of roles that we see, some of them happening, some we don't see happening, some we hear about that something happened but can't maybe figure out who did it or what caused it to happen, but we know that it happened. Outside of a church, there's lots of roles. Employer, employee, dad, mom, grandparents, there are single adults, there are teens, there are youngsters. And I think that probably everyone in those different roles has, at least if you're normal in my idea of normal, at some time thought or said to themselves, nobody knows what all I do or how hard I try, and I can't tell them because they won't understand, or they'll just tell me to stop complaining. And we may think to ourselves that we make the world function, but they don't even appreciate the work that I put into it. You know, it's easy to think that as people. Or we can recognize who is king and experience thankfulness and satisfaction to be able to serve that king. We can make that choice. Depends on where our focus is. And it will largely make a difference. It will make the difference of whether we can be satisfied with the roles that we fill and be successful in filling those roles. Now, we're here almost at the end of a year. If we look back at the year and all that this year has held and what we have done and what we've tried to do, what we've accomplished, as we look ahead, a lot of those, our experiences tend to color our focus on the year to come, what we might expect or what we think we might do. As we think about that, where do I look to for credit for my calling? Where do I look to for credit and affirmation for my calling? There are lots of examples in the scripture, and again, we know that the scriptures would tell us that what we do, we are not to do as to men, as men pleases, but rather we are to do them as to the Lord. And this is a reminder of that's what God wants us to do. Success in filling our roles, I'll look at an example here that we can draw from Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 8. Luke chapter 7, what's going on here is the story of the centurion who had a servant who was sick and looked like he was about to die, and the centurion sends a message to Jesus and asks him if he would come and heal his servant. Verse 6, then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So the centurion was saying that he is a man who understands roles and the filling of those roles. He understood that his success was based on other people's willingness to fill their roles. And so he wasn't a man who was saying, hey, I'm important, I'm a centurion, I'm in charge of 100 soldiers. I'm a really important guy there. He was very aware that his success depended on everyone else filling their roles as well. He wouldn't very long be a centurion if he couldn't get his group of men to listen to him. He was given that position because he did have people who were willing to listen. And he recognized that he was under authority, and if his job wasn't done, he as well would lose the position. So success in filling our roles means we need to have willingness to fill those roles and willingness to understand and to recognize who our authority is. And yes, that authority is God, but whatever, if you're a teenager, if you realize that your parents are under authority, I think it, especially under God's authority, it makes it easier when we recognize that those who are over us are also under authority, and they bear a huge responsibility. I think it changes the picture for us in how we deal with that authority. And anyone who is an authority will not be a good authority unless he respects the authority that is over them. So all of us have an authority over us. And to recognize that authority and to realize whatever my authority is, that also has an authority. And as everybody fills their roles, then success can be had by all. So a recognition of authority and how it flows down from God and a willingness to fill my slot is so important in being successful. Wherever we are, I think we can recognize that. Employer, employee, mom, dad, grandparents, we can recognize that. In Acts chapter 10, there is another example for us. There, Acts 10 verse 7, here the story is about another centurion, Cornelius. He was a devout man who sought God, and he had a vision, and an angel gave him some direction. In verse 7 it says, when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. What I see in that little story there is dedicated personnel who took responsibility seriously, understanding that what's good for my master is good for me. Understanding what's good for my master is good for me. Those men, in filling their roles, they understood. I believe that Cornelius was a good and godly master. But they understood that when they took their job seriously and looked out for their master, their position was a whole lot better than when they did just a half-hearted job. And I think that we very clearly can do that with God as well. When we understand that our master is good, and it's good for me to fill my role, to take it seriously. I see a picture here of men who their job was to do the will of their master, and they understood that very clearly. That was their life, was to fill those roles. So dedicated personnel who took responsibility seriously and always, even though they probably didn't always understand the direction and the orders that they were given and how it made sense in the whole scheme of things, we don't always understand the direction that God gives us any better than what Job understood. But we're confident in the goodness of their master. Philippians chapter 2. Let's turn to there. Philippians 2. Verse 25. Here he is well. Paul is encouraging believers. Verse 25, he says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." Paul understood the value of standing strong alone, but he also understood the huge benefit of encouragement by a fellow soldier. You can almost feel in the story the reluctance that Paul had to send this man. He says, he that ministered to my wants. I think this was a very dear person to Paul. Paul, in the line of creature comforts, didn't always have a lot. And those friends that were close to him, around him, and looked out for him were very dear friends. But here, he thought it necessary, he thought it good to send this dear friend to go and encourage his fellow soldiers, the fellow believers. So Paul understood the value of standing alone, but also the huge benefit of encouragement by a fellow soldier. Paul was at the forefront of the battle, but he still was a leader in encouragement. Paul, many times, especially later on when he was in prison, he spent a lot of time probably feeling lonely. In his final writings to believers, that feeling comes through, that he's probably lonely. He's in prison. He's probably lonely. But Paul still realized the value of encouraging others. Even though he was at the forefront, a leader in the church, he understood the importance of encouraging others, and he still was a leader in encouragement. In the book of Philemon, it's interesting how Paul speaks to his brother in the church, and there as well, he says, let me just read first couple of verses. "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Appia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, think about who Paul was and who Philemon was. If I remember right, Philemon was a businessman that was fairly well-to-do, if not very wealthy. He had slaves. And so he was a businessman. He had a large household. And I would assume, reading between the lines, his life was probably pretty easy. In a way. Probably had a lot to deal with. But he was also one who you can tell, obviously served the church. Paul writes to him, and he says, "And to the church in thy house." And so Paul, a prisoner who largely depended on, well, pretty much, depended on people to supply his physical needs. As a prisoner, he doesn't have a way to get out there and make tents and earn his own living. Paul, in that position of want, speaks encouragement, still pours in encouragement into those people who might look like they have it all. He still did. He still did. And I think that is a good example for us. Paul, understanding his ability to encourage others, the veteran soldier, who I believe probably was in need of physical assistance and encouragement himself, still is pouring encouragement into the life of someone else. And he calls them a dearly beloved and fellow laborer. He recognizes that they are involved in the same effort as he is. So encouragement. Encouragement even from a position of largely being alone. Paul to Timothy, in the verses that I read at the beginning here, he told Timothy, endure hardness. Why? Endure hardness because you know who you serve. Be willing to endure hardness because of who you serve. Some people find themselves on the mission field, or maybe they're studying to go on the mission field, and spend a lot of time working on those languages. A lot of effort, listening, practicing. And while they're putting hours into learning and studying the things they need to learn, other people are out there, they're fishing, they're hunting, they're ice skating, they're going on with life, having a wonderful time. Some people work long and hard so that others can be warmed and fed. Some stay up late cleaning up while the ones who wanted the party are sleeping. You know, life is that way. Sometimes you work hard doing your day's work, then you go move snow or fix a roof or bring wood to someone who needs some heat, or perhaps address a need that no one else recognized. Doing your work, doing your day's work, and then rocking a baby, washing dishes so that a mom can rest, staying up late to pray, or staying up late to communicate through one means or another, and wondering if others care as much as I do, and why not more people are doing what I'm doing. You know, it's easy to pour lots of effort into the things that we do and feel like we're going at it alone. But I think that is where the example of Paul, while he was locked away in prison, he's still pouring encouragement to other people. He's still seeking to encourage other people. And so that whole thing and the whole purpose here of what I'm saying is to hopefully swing our focus around on who we are, who called us to be who we are, and who we are serving. I want to encourage myself and all of us, know who you are and know why you do it. If you're doing it because of God, that is where our focus and confirmation come from. The encouragement of fellow soldiers is such a valuable thing in that too. But that's not why we do it. We do it because we want to honor God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For our light affliction which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Those things so often that go on around us are just surface things. And it is so easy as human to want to seek comfort in those surface things. But Paul reminds us to look at the eternal focus. Allow God to steer our focus into the eternal focus and to realize that that holds an eternal weight of glory. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. There he tells Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. I'll turn to that and read a couple of verses surrounding that. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. He's talking about the things that our human nature wants to go after. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after. The German Bible says, jaget danach. And that is not just following it, but it's a pursuing, chase after. Jaget danach gives a little different picture than just follow after. Pursue after with the intent of laying hold on righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight. That's the value of encouragement that soldiers in the kingdom of God can share with each other. Also, in Acts, there's a little story there. Acts 20:23. Here, what's happening is a group of men have decided they want to do away with Paul, and they're going to pull a trick. Paul hears about it, and he sends word to the governor, and here's the direction. The chief captain called unto him two centurions and said, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. What I see in that story is the amazing blessing of having the company of fellow soldiers. You know, those men, when they went, I don't think they had any fear of a motley band of thieves or rebels overcoming them, because they had a group that was strong and they were secure together, way more than they had been by themselves. And if we can be, God blesses us with the opportunity to be together with a band of fellow soldiers in the cause of the kingdom, that is an amazing blessing. The joy and the strength of serving together is a huge blessing when we have that opportunity. And then in Luke chapter 17, verse 10, here are the words of Jesus about how we are to look at what we do and what we accomplish. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Just did my job. I just did what God asked me to do. And he tells that after the story of which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat. Will not rather say with him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me until I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. So here's a servant that was doing the work, that was making the master successful. And it wasn't enough that he worked all day in the field plowing, but when he came in, he still needed to serve his master supper. And that master that probably had been having meetings all day and talking to people, not really doing anything, and he still, when he does his job, he's just doing what's expected. Jesus tells us when we have done all those things that God gives us to do, we need to say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. The lesson that we can see in that is that God blesses us with opportunities to be a part of his kingdom. He blesses us with the opportunity to serve. He doesn't give us all the same job. He doesn't give us all the same roles to fill. He doesn't give us all the same abilities, but he does want all of us to be involved in his kingdom. And when we fill those roles and do the best that we can do, we can rest, because from God is where our affirmation comes from. When our king is important, then our role is important, and his approval is the most important approval that we can get, even when others' focus is on the pumpkin, so to speak. You know, sometimes life is just like that, or feels like that. Maybe it isn't actually, we just think it is. But God's approval is the most important approval that we can seek. And so, as we finish out the year and start another year, let's allow God to freshen up our focus about who we are, what we are to be doing, and joyfully seek to fill the roles that he gives to each one of us.